Attention this morning to Luke chapter 9. If you have your scriptures and desire to read along with us, verse 23 is where I'd like to begin to read to you from. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. When we read from verses like this, a lot of times it's beneficial to turn back and to read the accounts of the same event in the other Gospels. Verses, this same event, and verses very similar to this are in Matthew chapter 16. They're in Mark chapter 8. And the accounts in all three places are very similar. And the reason why I believe it's important, especially when we read from the account in the book of Luke, to be able to go back and read those other two. And when I say other two, I'm specifically referencing the one in Matthew 16, is so that we can define who it is that the Lord is speaking to. Because the scriptures say, and he said to them all. He said to all of them that were there. He's speaking unto those. They're described a little bit further here in Luke chapter 9 as being his disciples. We know from the account in Matthew chapter 16 that it was not just followers, but it was also those who he had given the title of apostle. And these particular words that he spoke unto them is in the same setting and in the same context and among the same ones who he established his church in the midst of in Matthew chapter 16. I know it's probably you have certain verses that are the most quoted verses in the world. John chapter 3 verse 16 is no doubt probably the one that is most quoted by people that consider themselves to be Christian than any other verse in the Bible. And quote away at it. I provided they quote the verses that we read from and quote it. We should never discourage quoting of the Bible. I can tell you that. And one of the verses that Primitive Baptists quote, probably more than any other quote, is from Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord said unto Peter, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's the place where we find that the Lord is establishing his kingdom. And it is upon the profession of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. And it is upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby that place and that kingdom is established. And these are the ones that he's speaking to whenever he's giving them these words of instruction that we've read to you this morning. He's told them about a kingdom and about a place called the church that he has established. You know, have you ever told anybody about maybe in the community where you go to church, and them find interest in the things in which you tell them about that place, and you can tell that they're interested in more about that particular place, but then you never tell them about where it is as far as a geographical location? You know, I don't think we're hard to find. You know, there's some Primitive Baptist churches, I think, that purposely have been located to make it hard to find. You know, we whenever we visit among the Lord's people, and I'm not, people say, don't talk ugly about, I'm not talking ugly about the Lord's people. The Lord's people are the finest people on the face of this earth. They are the salt of this earth. I love them. But sometimes that old sign that was put up in 1950 has got dirt on it, and you can't see to turn here to get to the place. It's a hard place to find. Well, you know, that's an example of a geographic locating of where you consider the kingdom of God to be and where it is whenever you meet with the people of God. Well, whenever the Lord established the place called the church, He didn't just tell them about this place and tell them that it was upon the profession that He is the Son of God, whereby it has been established, and that He is that rock. He is the rock which the builders rejected. He is that chief cornerstone whereby the truth is built upon. He is that soul. But He didn't just establish those truths with them and didn't tell them what they needed to do in order to be able to enjoy fellowship with Him in this place that He has given us. He didn't just not give them the instructions. He didn't just tell them about the place and then not give them the instructions on how to access it. He gives us in these verses that I've read to you the means whereby we access this place that He has established. He says, if any man... Here goes. You know, we have an invitation too. Don't let the world take things from us that we have a biblical right to be able to do. We have a biblical authority to preach saving faith. Do we understand that this morning? You know, the reformer movement that has popped up in this world, they have gone back and they've dug up some old documents back from about 250 years ago, and they've found some articles of faith that they know don't match where they go to church now, where they go to church and their articles of faith, they read that man's free will must be emphasized in order to be able to enjoy eternal heaven, and that they must do something in order to be saved. But yet they dig up these old documents and they find them, these old confessions of faith and so on and so forth that predate a long time ago. And they start trying to tie two and two together, and they won't completely leave what they had, but they want some of what they found in these old documents, so they think they can just mold them together. I want to tell you, some things cannot be molded together. You ever tried to stir oil and water together? I grew up in a house where my daddy, he loved Italian salad dressing. And I remember the first time I tasted Italian out of a bought bottle. I thought it was the worst stuff I ever had in my life. I said, that's not Italian. What my daddy stirred up homemade when he took oil and vinegar and he put the spices in there. And whenever we'd eat a salad, he'd stir it up. And that'd be what I put on top of my salad. It would be a homemade concoction of Italian dressing. And I believe he could have. Now, I never saw him use a measuring stick to make it. He had the old eyeball, which would drive my mama's mama crazy because she refused to alter a recipe at all. If she gave you a recipe, she expected you to use it right down the line, every helping exactly like it's supposed to be. Well, he would just take it and just eyeball it and say, that's about right for the oil. That's about right for the vinegar. That looks like enough seasoning salt. That looks like enough basil and so on and so forth. That was the way that he made it. Well, you know, there's a place where we eat, and I'm not going to speak ugly about a restaurant establishment in the community, but they serve Italian dressing with their salad whenever you order. And if you leave that Italian dressing sitting there long enough, you'll see that there's a separation between something on the bottom and something on the top. It's water. He doesn't want to use all his salad dressing, so he's trying to make it a little bit longer down the road. So he's adding a little bit of water to it, stirring it, and then serving it. Oil and water won't mix, will it? You can mix it for a little while, but eventually they're gonna separate, and you're gonna be able to distinguish between that that's oil and that that's water.
Well, whenever it comes to the truth, whenever it comes to what God has given us, you can't just take what is truth and try to merge it with what you believed and what you thought you had all along, because you're not willing to get out of it and think that you can just stir it together and somehow have something that is good over on the other side. It won't work that way. And one of the things that a lot of these reformers do is they take the free will movement and they mix it with the predestination and they mix it with election, and they think that you can just stir it together, and whenever you get to the other side of it, what you have is truth. And what they are teaching is that, yes, God gives you faith, but until you exercise that faith, you aren't truly saved. You aren't truly a child of God. And if you fail to exercise it in a manner that is perfect and that is good in the eyes of God, until you depart from this life, then it was evidence that you were never saved anyway. And you say, Brother Will, what was the point of that? It's because even though they have adopted this term, saving faith, man, you'll see it all over the place. If you want to attend a quote-unquote Christian school these days, they have an article, they have something they want you to sign. They want you to sign that you believe in the saving faith. Oh, I believe in saving faith. You better believe I believe in it. I try to encourage you to walk in saving faith and to be saved by your faith and by your trust in the Lord, because I believe it's true. But our definitions of it are very different. And whenever we understand that the Lord has established the truth of saving faith in His Word, and He is teaching us about it, the same thing is true whenever it comes to an invitation. I've heard invitations before. I attended a meeting one time when the man was standing before the congregation, and he laid it out there pretty clear. He laid it out there pretty direct whenever it came to something that needed to be done that day. And that is that there were some that needed to make a change in their life. And I want to tell you, I was one of them. Make no doubt about it, I wasn't standing out there in the midst of that congregation as one that was living a good life at the time. I can't profess that. I can't stand before the Lord's people and say I was fine just where I was. I wasn't. I needed somebody to give me that message. I needed somebody to tell me that change needed to happen. I needed to hear it as much as anybody else did. But whenever he concluded his remarks at the close of them, what he said was that it was necessary for you to make a change so that you would get to go to heaven when you die. Is that here is the invitation whereby if you will receive the invitation of the Lord, if you will just do it, then heaven will be your home. You know, there's some things that I don't know why I did it. I look back on things that I was involved in. And I remember one time I attended a quote-unquote church service whenever I was in college, and they had the guitars and the drums going. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody around me was standing up and swaying hands. And I was not an old Baptist at the time. But I can remember very clearly I sat down. I never stood up. I knew something was not right about what was going on in there. And everybody in there looked at me like I was crazy. One of my best friends in this world was on that stage that night. He's a good boy. I love him. He's raising his family, and he's not raising them in the truth as you and I know it, but he's raising them to be godly children. They're a godly family. I love them. But I remember seeing the disappointment on his face as he looked out, and everybody, and a couple of hundred people standing up, but yet here sat one to be sure something's wrong with him. Well, I want to tell you, little lamb, the same thing took place that night whenever they all flooded up to the front to give their life to the Lord, if you will, so that they would be able to receive the invitation and that they would get to heaven. And I thought they would sing another hymn and another hymn and there another hymn, and they kept going because there was one that would not go. And I was him. And I would not be into it because I knew that what was coming forth was not right. And whenever we read about an invitation in the Scriptures, you better believe that God Almighty gave us an invitation, and He's established the principles whereby it was made right here. He says, if any man will come after me, He's not inviting them to come so that they may go to glory whenever they pass one day. Praise be unto the Lord that we believe the precious truth that God Almighty has given us, and that is that everyone who the Lord intends to go to glory with Him will come and will answer the call that God gives him and changes him and makes him into a child of God. He's made into a child of glory whenever the Lord calls him and changes him. No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. And you says, well, it says that he'll raise him up, says that he'll call him unto him, and he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He tells us in these verses that those that were given to the Lord, but given to Jesus before the foundation of the world. Don't you like that reference that Brother Virgil made last Saturday afternoon? And that is that he's always appreciated how in the covenant of grace, that before the foundation of the world, all the children of God, all the elect of God, were given to Jesus before the foundation of the world. The choice was made before the foundation of the world. The salvation was not done before the foundation of the world, but the choice was made. You know, I don't like to distinguish between that too much, because let me tell you something. The salvation did not come to the person until the Lord came to that person. But you can better well believe whenever they were given to Jesus before the foundation of the world, it was as good as done. You hear me? It was as good as done. It was as good as done. But all those whom God chose were given to Jesus before the foundation of the world. And every single one of those, down to every jot and every tittle, down to every single one who God intends to be in glory with Him, will turn around and be given Jesus before they part from this world. That's a good analogy, isn't it? They were all given to Jesus, and now Jesus will be given to them. I believe the book of Ecclesiastes tells us about a threefold cord that is not easily broken. And whenever it comes to God the Father making a choice, and whenever it comes to Jesus Christ dying for them, and whenever it comes to the Father sending the Spirit to dwell in their hearts, what you have is a threefold cord which is not easily broken, and it won't be broken. Every single one of them who the Lord intends to be given life will be given life. But you say, but you have an invitation. Sure you do. But the invitation is not for the life. The invitation is for the joy of having the life. If any man will come after me, this come is a discipleship call. It's a gospel call. It's a call whereby the Lord has given those that are partakers of the truth here in this world to be able to give an invitation. Jesus gave it here. But in the giving of it, in which Jesus gave during His earthly ministry, He gave the authority of making that call unto the apostles. And it is the apostles who established the church. And it is the church and the man that stands before the congregation that has the authority to make the call today. And it's the same call. If any man will come after the Lord. It's not after me. It's after the Lord. And if any man will come after the Lord. You know, the scriptures here speak of some things that are required in this invitation. There's some things required. Another reason why the context should show us that it's not eternal. Because He's saying there's something's required of you. I'll tell you this by the authority of this word today. Nothing's required of you whenever it comes to glory. You ever had somebody tell you, invite you to a meal? And when you say, what can I bring? They just look at you and say, you just come. You just show up. Nothing's required. You don't need to bring anything with you. You just show up. People say, be careful with that analogy now, because they still got to make the trip under their own will to be able to go. You understand what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you, how about this? Nothing's required of you to come, and you don't even have to drive yourself. I'll come get you. I'll come get you. I'll make the trip. And I'll go and I'll pick you up and I'll bring you to the table where you're going to be fed. I'll bring you to the place where my blessings are. And that's exactly what the Lord said whenever it came to our eternal home in heaven. You don't have to come again. You don't need to bring anything with you. Nothing's required of you. The Lord has done it all. All to Him we owe. Praise be unto the Lord for our glorious Savior that without one ounce of work on our part has saved us and washed us from every filthy sin of ourselves. I tell you, that's a marvelous Savior, isn't it? That's something worthy to be praised. Is ever one worthy to be praised? It sure is not a sinner in the lineage of Adam. But I tell you, there was one that didn't come in the lineage of Adam. But he was born of a virgin in this world. And he lived a sin-free life in this world.
And he offered himself on the cross at Calvary, and he died for everyone that the Father had sent him to die for. And those are the one, that is the one that we owe our honor, praise, and glory to. Not one thing is required, but here in this invitation, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, sometimes it's easy to say something, but it's awful hard to do that something. It's awful hard to do. You know, sometimes at our house, we're having a meltdown. And you say, you use that in first person. Sometimes you have one, sometimes I have them too. And you know what? Sometimes it's good just to get that gadarean out and just go on and stomp around for a minute and be done with it and get everybody back on the same page. But generally speaking, it's not me, okay? Not every time. But sometimes we have them. And that child will be looking at me. And all I'll say is, don't speak a word. And you know what? That's so easily said. Don't speak a word. And it's almost like you can see them shiver from the anger and that pent-up energy. They got to get what's in them out. They've got to get it out. They've got to release and do what they want to do so bad. But yet there is two simple words from a person in authority above in them. Don't speak another word. That's easy. Don't speak, just be quiet. And you'll simmer down. By the way, it works on this end too. Whenever I just hush and just go on, it works back the other way. It's easily said, but it's hard for that child to do. You know, Jesus spoke these words, and they just flowed right out. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. But don't you know that Jesus understood that is not an easy command to follow? To deny yourself. You know, there's a lot of things that we think are ours. There's certain authority that we may have. And you do. I won't deny that. Mama has authority over her children. Daddy has authority over his family. Should. Hey, you know, you may have certain possessions. You may have one thing or another, no matter what it is. But whenever it comes to this, that the Lord is laying out the invitation to enjoy, he says that there's something that you're going to have to do to enjoy. And that is deny yourself. That means to deny some of those things that you think that you may do pretty well. You know, there's some things that we may think that we are pretty good at. But when it comes to following the Lord, one thing you're going to have to do is realize that there's one that does it better than you. There may just be one. If you want me to leave you with a little bit of authority, if you will. There may just be one that does something better than you. And that one may just be the Lord. There may not be anybody else in this world that does whatever it is that I'm, whatever it is this context is. And you say, Brother Will, what is, I don't need to say it. Sometimes it's in your mind already. I'm not a mind reader. I may have already mentioned it in some of these examples that I've given you. But there's one above all, one there is above all others, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if it's Him, He is worth submitting to and denying yourself and saying that there is one greater than me. And I'll tell you, in the venture, in the process of denying yourself, what you'll figure out is that there's a lot that's greater than you. That there's a lot of people who it's a good thing to be at the feet of and washing their feet. It's a good thing to obey the commandment that the Lord has given us for us to esteem others greater than ourselves. To deny ourselves. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. You know, not only has the Lord given you the process of the initial steps, and that is, if any man will come after me. You know, there's sometimes when I'll go back to the analogy of giving somebody directions to the meeting house. You get them there. You convince them to come. And I believe it's a good thing to encourage people to come hear the truth. I know that sometimes you may look around and you see the percentage of success / failures of one that stay in it, and you just say it's just not worthwhile. Well, if you'll do me one favor, whenever that mind set hits your mind, and I'm, you know, some people would hear me say this and say, Brother Will, you're trying to get people just to think of you. Well, I need your prayers, and I appreciate it if you think of me every once in a while. But whenever you think of the success or the failures of those that you get to come to the threshold of the door, and you think it's just all for naught because so many of them fall away, so many of them don't continue in the way in which they should go. And I'm not here professing to tell you that I'm in a perfect way in which I should go. I try to improve myself. You think that there's one that's your pastor who came from the outside. And I didn't come from the outside to tell those within what they needed to do better. I came from the outside so that those that were within would tell me what I needed to do better. And the Lord's blessed me to be a part of His kingdom since that day. You say, what is the purpose of saying that? Is that that there is, and that there are ones that can come from without, and that can be converted, and that can enjoy the fruit from the trees that we are blessed to be able to eat from here in the kingdom of God. If any man will come after me, let him deny self and take up his cross daily. He didn't just tell you how to tell him to get there. He's told them what is required once you're there. Daily. Take up his cross daily. You know, a cross is a place where something horizontal meets something vertical. We hung a swing out of a tree limb in our house. My mama gave my kids a swing for Christmas to hang from a tree. And in doing so, she violated a law of her son's house, and that is anything that requires assembly or requires some sort of, having to put up, said gift should come with assembly. In other words, if you want them to have a tree swing, come up and help me put up the tree swing. That's the reason why we're a month and a half into this thing, trying to get it ready to put up. I had to cut down trees and get them cleared out. Spent 2 hours a couple of Saturdays ago trying to throw a rock over that portion of that tree where I wanted that rope to go, so that when I bought the rope, I'd be able to just pull it over and tie the slip knot in and pull it up. But you know, things that go horizontal tend to just kind of go that way just with a little bit of ease. You know, when I tied that rope up there yesterday, Sister Allison was back there, and she was questioning the integrity of the limb. So we had a test pilot on that. Old Big Daddy had to make sure we tested the weight limit on the limb, and I tied a knot in it so that I could put my foot in it and swing back and forth. And my foot, I couldn't get it up high enough to get it in the rope. And I just remember thinking how bad this is that I've let myself get into this kind of shape that I can't even pick my foot up above my knee and get it in this knot to be able to test this. You know, I'd go along this way pretty easy. I don't have any trouble walking. That's horizontal. But as soon as you add a vertical component to it, it becomes a little bit of a challenge. And you know, a lot of people just go through this world horizontally with no concern of anything vertical. But what the Lord said is that it is required of us to take up our cross. And that is a place whereby our horizontal lives meet a vertical direction, because everything that we do horizontally should be done in the mindset of the vertical of how the Lord is viewing what we do. And it is not easy to do, but praise be unto the Lord. Did I tell you we've got to help? You know, you can make the analogy of not being able to pick your foot up high enough to get it in a knot. Well, the only helper I had was, two little boys that couldn't
couldn't pick me up if they wanted to try to pick me up higher. But I tell you, we've got something better than just a child to be able to lift us up. What we have whenever we enter in and we as we go horizontal through this life and we focus upon the vertical, what we have is the God of glory in heaven. And the Scripture says, under the same context of coming unto Him, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, even though He's telling us something is required of us, whenever the Lord is our helper, there's some things in this life that seem to be too big for us. And there are some things, if all it is us. But whenever the Lord is with us, and whenever we focus upon the vertical direction, you can take up your cross daily. Look at the repetition of it. Daily. You know, that's Satan's devices against the Lord's people here in this world. It's because he wears them out. He wears them out. That's his attack upon the kingdom. Is, I know what you're saying is right. And I know what is right for me to do. But doing what is right continues to be harder and harder. And it wears you out. It'll wear you out. But I want to tell you, the reason why it wears us out is because we're focused upon just how tired we are, as opposed to focusing upon the one that we've been called to serve. And oh, what a great and high calling it is. It's not just a calling to be a pastor that's a high calling of God. It's not just the calling of the church upon a deacon that's a high calling of God. I want to tell you, there's a high calling of a mother in this world. There's a high calling of a daddy in this world. There's a high calling of a grandpa and of aunts and of uncles. There's a high calling of singing praises unto the Lord God Almighty. There's a high calling for coming and praising God. All of it is a high calling because it means, whenever we describe it as high, as a place where it originated. And it originated higher than you and I can ever imagine. It originated from the Lord God Almighty. And it's a high calling. I tell you, it's high. Came from God. But I tell you, the same one that called you unto it is not one that's going to let you go in the midst of it. Take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, whenever you consider the challenges that existed, that have been laid out to the saints of old, Paul, at the end of the book of Acts, I believe it's in the 26th chapter, maybe in the 27th, I can't remember. But you'll remember what Paul said. He said, "Having obtained the help of God, I continue until this day." You know, I like what the preacher said one time. I was listening to it on tape. Is, you know, some people think that baptism is graduation day. And that is that whenever you baptize, that it ends that day. I want to tell you, baptism is not graduation day. Baptism is the day whenever we begin to enter into this of taking up our cross daily and walking with the Lord, having continued. Unto this day, having obtained the help of the Lord, I continue unto this day. You know, I find myself, and I'll say this about picking up your cross daily. I've already mentioned that it's not easy, but I'll tell you what it's easier than. You can make a decision daily to pick up your cross or to pick up a bunch of worldly elements, because you're picking up both of them. You're picking up one or the other. And there's one more apt to drag you down a whole lot quicker than the other. And that is the elements of this world. And oh, they're there. Oh, they are there. You hear men like what we had come and preach to us last weekend, say the things that he said in regards to the world in which we live, and oh, how true they are. But I tell you, our God is greater than the things of this world. Our God is more powerful than the things of this world. And not only is He more powerful to overcome the things of this world, I believe He's a greater blessing than the things of this world to take up Him as opposed to the things of it. You know, the Scripture says here that whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, sometimes I read verses and I wonder how people that don't believe what we believe could read that and have any idea what it says. You know, that's one of the places I read that. And I wonder, how could anybody that doesn't believe in time salvation read that verse and have a clue what Jesus could have been saying here? He says that whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, I believe it's in the account in the book of Mark where he asked the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall save his life and he shall lose his own soul? Lose his own soul. I'm here to tell you, he's not talking about the Lord losing your soul. The Lord has never lost the soul of one of his. Not one. Can't be talking about the Lord losing a soul. What a small view of God that we would have if we thought that God could lose something, as far as not being able to secure it. I tell you, the under-shepherd can lose them. And the under-shepherd has. Guaranteed. The under-shepherd's mind hurts when he loses them. His heart hurts for them. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't because the Lord lost them. You know, some that believe that... Well, I won't go off into that. But he says, whosoever will save his life. Every one of us have a life that if we wanted to live it for ourselves, we could make that choice. You have that choice. You have it. You know, Joshua laid out the choice to the children of Israel in the book of Joshua. Whenever he told them, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord this day, to choose, to make a choice, he gave them the charge to make a choice to serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, the God of the Amorites, and to whose land ye dwell. But he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We believe in a choice. There's three things we've touched on this morning. We believe in saving faith, we believe in an invitation, and we believe in a choice. You have a choice. And you know, there's things that come along in this life that bring us to a point where we have to make that choice. You know, there's been some times in my life where I feel like the Lord has brought me to a fork in the road. And I don't think I'm the only one that can say this. Is that the Lord has given me a blessing of being able to look down both forks and be able to see, choose either one, I'm going to bless you either way. Have y'all ever had that? And say, a choice has got to be made. But the Lord has given me comfort in saying, I'm going to be with you either way. But you know, not every choice is like that. There are some choices, when you get to that fork in the road, that one is to save your own life and lose fellowship with the Lord. And the other is to lose your life and save fellowship with the Lord. That's the choices that He's laid out here to these that have gathered here before Him this day. There's a choice that He's laying out before Him then. And He says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. What is it that he's going to lose? He's going to lose what the Lord has given him the precious privilege to have access to in the previous verse of saying, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But if you choose to save your life, that is, I got some important things going on in my life. My children are not grown yet. There's going to come a time whenever they can make their own choices about church and about things of spirituality in their homes. You know, I had a man tell me one time, and it was awful close to where I'm standing today, that I didn't know what he felt like because all my children are little and they're all here with me every Sunday and they haven't gone in the ways of this world, and there's no way that I can know what it's like for his life because his children have gone off. Wasn't anybody belongs to us, by the way.
And I said, you're right. But that does not make the choice wrong for you to do what you know is right.
You know, we got... The Lord's blessed us. Brother E.W. and Sister Linda took a picture up here with all our youngins last Sunday. Slew a crop of good-looking youngins. I want to tell you, singing youngins sound good. Attentive. You know, just when you don't think they're not watching what you're doing, the pastor can go over and hang his coat on the edge of the pew, and then somebody sitting on the front row goes over there and hangs their coat over the pew. You don't think that they're not watching what we're doing, even to the minute detail like that? Oh, yeah. I talk to my children whenever we read our Bibles at home. And I tell them that what they decide to do as far as their living whenever they grow up will be up to them. Even though I have an idea where one may fit in a little bit better than the other, that's going to be their choices. But I tell them, please remember to go to the house of God and praise your Lord on Sunday morning at the Old Baptist Church. I try to remind them of that continually. But you know, there's going to come a day when that's going to be their choice. They're not going to be crawling in the car with me. They're going to have their own home. They're going to have their own decisions to make. You know, whenever it comes to a point, sometimes whenever those decisions have to be made, if they decide to go in the way and to go their own way, I could make a choice that would be easier for my life and try to excuse what they're doing. Or either I could do what's right and say I'm willing to lose things that may contribute to my life for the purpose of the fellowship with my Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes people hear about personal accounts that people have, that a minister may have, and may think he's tooting his own horn. I've heard that so many times. You know, I'm to the point where if you think that's what I'm doing, go your way and think that. It won't do you any good. I promise you it'll cause a breach between me and you. But if that's what you think I'm doing whenever I give this account, you do it. But I can tell you, whenever Will Martin and Allison Martin joined Bethany Primitive Baptist Church in October 2004, I had one side of my extended family that thought we were as crazy as anybody could be. Still do. I had another side that was somewhat envious of what we were doing, but couldn't seem to find their way out of their circumstances to be able to make the right choice. But I tell you, I still believe it was right to do what we did that day. You know, there's a reason why the Apostle Paul told the people at the church at Corinth, they said, know no man after the flesh. You know, there's a reason why we call one another brother and sister here, is because we're all one big family here. You know, Allison asks me all the time what somebody's name is whenever we visit somewhere out there. And, you know, I meet so many people from time to time, I can't remember what their name is, but a lot of times I remember the last name. And I'll say, that's brother last name. You know, whatever the last name. She says, no, I want the first name. I can't remember the first name, but it's brother or sister last name. But I tell you, what we are is a family in the household of faith. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. Tells me that there's some times whenever you have to make a decision in your life about what is right. And that which is right, every time, it doesn't mean that the Lord can't override wrong to bless you when you are wrong. But whenever you're in the right, you're with the Lord. I can tell you that. Because our God is right every time. Praise be unto the Lord. And I didn't even get to, you know, some of this down here. He says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You know, there's a good, casting away that can happen. And it can happen when this world casts you away. There's some things that I'm thankful that I'm such a castaway with. People don't even entice me with it. You know, there was a time early on in the faith when I wasn't far enough out of the mud and the muck of this world where the enticement still came. But now I'm weird enough where some of the enticements of this world, people don't even entice you with them because they know you're not interested. You know, somebody came to my office a few weeks ago, a man did, and as what always happens, usually while we're waiting to process some paperwork, a conversation starts, and he started talking to me about this and that, and he started mentioning a movie. And it was not a movie that I would have watched. It was it had parts in it that I'm just not interested in watching. And I was really trying to do what I could to duck, to get out of that conversation. And I said a little prayer, "Lord, get me out of this." And when I did, one of those girls that works at the counter spoke up. It wasn't 10 seconds after I prayed that prayer. Is that girl that works up front spoke up and said, "He's not interested at all in that movie." And you know, he stopped talking. I said, "Thank you, Lord. I didn't even have to say a thing. I didn't have to say a thing." You know, if you stand in a place long enough, the Lord will bless you where you stand. It's not easy to get there. But if you stand in a place long enough, Elder Marvin Loudermilk told me that during his last year of life. I called him up because I faced a situation that I thought I had handled, but the situation popped up again. And I was trying to do what was right. And Brother Marvin told me over the phone, he said, "Brother Will," he said, "a man stand in a place long enough, he'll earn the respect of those around him. Stand and do what's right. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." I venture to tell you, that's a good thing to find when it comes to fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the one who died for you. Fellowship with the one who guides you day in and day out. Fellowship with the one who you talk to in your darkest of moments whenever you're speaking in the secret of your closet. Fellowship with the one who's given you the truth. You know, that's the next words down. He's given you His words. He's given you His precious Scripture. Fellowship with that very one. I tell you, I think it's a blessing. And I think we do well to deny our lives and enjoy the one we have with Him. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
I've been on.